I'm Reverend Louisa Dyer, an interfaith and metaphysical minister with 25 years counseling experience, and my passion has always been spiritual connection, along with sharing what I've learned in a lifetime of study about being happier, healthier, and more at peace. So each week on Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, we focus on what works, on what helps, on what really matters, so we can have both the energy and the inspiration to live in new ways. Each of us is a divinely created being, and that divine spark of life is alive in each and every one of us. I know that because without it, we wouldn't be breathing. We wouldn't be living. And because of that inner divinity, we have the choice and the power to rise up out of depression, addiction, anger, or any other suffering that we may have been experiencing. I know this because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. So I hope you join us every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM, or online at WAIF883.org, as we tap into the power, the beauty, and the divine love that animates all forms of life, including yours and mine. There's never anything we need to get or to gain in order to be happy. There's only stuff to let go of, stuff that has blocked our awareness of God, Source, divine energy, unconditional love, whatever you want to call that divine spark of life that lives in our hearts. That divine power in our hearts is ours as soon as we claim it. And this show is about doing just that. So I want to thank you for listening. And if you would like a free guided meditation or some other tools to help you get in touch with that inner divinity, that higher self of your own, there's a free guided meditation and a lot of other tools on my websites, which is just my name, LouisaDyer.com and LouisaDyer.net. And there is also a Facebook page that's for this show specifically on Facebook. It's called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And you can interact on that page. You can find out what's coming up each week. We'd love to hear from you and know what you really want to talk about, what really matters to you. So I hope you join me on that Facebook page, or you find me at LouisaDyer.com or LouisaDyer.net, and use those free tools and that free information to help you with your own journey. And so we begin each week, each show, with a little bit of music to uplift our spirits, to help bring body and mind into a greater harmony, and to let the body actually move if it wants to. So the body can begin feeling more strongly the spirit, which is actually animating the body. So I'm going to play a little bit of music. Hope you enjoy it.
A child of life. A daily expression of that life. Right now, forever will be inside of me. Standing as we will stand as one for humanity. Forever.
Listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your radio dial, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. And what we're doing here is tapping into the power and the beauty and the divine love that actually animates all forms of life, including mine and including yours. And I know that that source of divinity is within you, because if it weren't, you wouldn't be walking around, you wouldn't be breathing. And so that's how I know it's in you and that it is in me. And so when we can actually begin to welcome that connection with that divine spark inside of us, what happens is we begin to wake up. We begin to notice the beauty and the glory and the love that's in each and every person and that's in life itself. And so what we do here each week on this show is we focus on spirituality, on that spirit inside of each one of us, instead of on religion. And we work with proven methods that will help us in clearing out whatever's been in our way of connecting with that source and opening up to that divine spark of life inside of us. And we really focus on how to do that personal growth that brings us in touch with the peace and the joy and the love that I believe is our birthright. It all lives inside of us. And the key is just removing whatever's been blocking our experience of it. And so that's what we're doing on this show every week. And today we're going to actually continue a discussion a little bit that we started last week, which was about healing depression. And last week we really looked at the fear and the anger that is underlying depression and how to clear that so that we can rise up out of that despair and depression. And we're going to continue that talk today by looking at all the lower level emotions, you know, shame, despair, grief, guilt, anger, and also the self-abusive, obsessive thoughts that tend to go with all those negative emotions. And we're going to learn how to set ourselves free from those so that we can again experience that birthright, that inner knowing of God inside of us. Last week, like I said, we talked about specifically about depression and how to heal or clear the fear and the anger that are often, if not always, at the root of depression. And we used a book last week called Healing and Recovery by Dr. David Hawkins, who is a renowned psychiatrist and a spiritual researcher. He developed something called the Map of Consciousness and has written a whole series of books, beginning with Power versus Force, which the books and the Map of Consciousness have been translated into 25 languages because they're so profound. Dr. Hawkins is an enlightened being, and what I mean by that is he no longer has ego. He no longer has a personal self, and he really cares only about expressing the God energy that's in him and alleviating as much human suffering in the process as he can possibly do. And he actually led one of the largest mental health facilities in the United States with incredible success stories of people that everybody else had given up on as incurable or simply there was nothing else they could do. And he actually worked with and helped heal a lot of those people. But anyway, he wrote this book called Healing and Recovery that has been used by recovery groups and clinicians all over the world. And that's the book we used last week to look at depression. And he has chapters in there on how to heal not only depression, but cancer, alcoholism, a lot of different things. We're actually going to use some of that material in a show at the end of the month. I'm going to have a local well-known addictions counselor on the show, Reverend Audrey DePue, and that's also something that I've done a lot of, having been an addict myself for 20 years and worked with a lot of addicts. That book is really a profound book if you want to know how to heal yourself. And basically what Dr. Hawkins explains in that book and what we worked with last week is that the primary cause of depression is actually placing our survival on something outside of ourselves. That, in fact, all negative energy fields, all the negative emotions that we can experience are based on placing our source of happiness externally. Because when we do this, we either consciously or unconsciously then know, we can feel that we've just made ourselves the potential victim of something occurring over which we have no power, no control. And so consciously or unconsciously, we feel vulnerable and unsafe. And that's really the underlying problem with every so-called negative emotion. And what we learned from Dr. Hawkins last week is that the way to get out of depression is to look at the underlying fear. And so if you feel depressed, you just ask yourself, you know, what is the fear? And then you become willing to actually notice where you experience that in your body, how you experience that in your body. Literally, what are the sensations going on in your body when you notice that fear? And then to be willing to actually stop thinking, stop naming, or stop talking to yourself about that fear and just experience the sensations in your body that arise when you notice or when you, you know, name that fear. And then you just stay with whatever sensations are there. And usually there's more than one. Usually if, you know, there's something you're really afraid of, you're going to feel sensations all over different places in your body. And so you just notice what they all are, and then you just go through them one by one. And you stay with that sensation without naming it, without talking about it in your mind. And what happens almost always is one of two things. Either the sensation just simply goes away, or it changes, it shifts into something else. And then when it does, you just, again, you just notice the sensation and you stay with it until it shifts or it goes away. And you do that with all the sensations that you experience in the body relative to a particular fear. And what winds up happening is either it all just goes away, or it shifts into something that's not a big deal at all, or you come to realize that whatever that sensation is, you can handle it. It's like, oh, that's just my heart fluttering. Okay, I can live with that. And what that does actually is what you're doing energetically and spiritually is you're removing the fear of the fear. And usually that's what we're so afraid of. That's why we stay stuck, because we're afraid of something and we don't look at it. We hide from it. We pretend it isn't there. We bury it. We try to ignore it. We try to cover it up with a false positive attitude. And so it just stays there because it won't ever change until we actually face it, until we actually experience it. And then as soon as we do let ourselves experience it and go all the way into it without any resistance at all and without naming it, it will change. Because that's the nature of everything material. Everything is impermanent. Everything except spirit itself. Everything except the God that's inside of us, the spirit, the essence of who we really are. Everything else is, it's changing all the time. It's transitory. And so if we put our attention on whatever that sensation is in our body, no matter how big it seems or how scary it seems, if we put our attention on it, it will shift, because that's the nature of everything. And so that's what we worked with last week, of how to do that with fear so that we could run that, whatever those sensations are, out of our body so that we're no longer afraid of the fear. And when we get rid of the fear, what we notice is, oh, usually then we can see that actually what's going on is we're angry about something. We're angry about, and that's why a lot of people say the root of depression is anger turned inwards. I think that's the second step. Really, the root of depression is some unresolved fear, some fear that we haven't looked at. And so then we look at it, and we clear that fear by this process that we talked about last week. And then a lot of times what will happen is the anger will come up. And what we do then is we use that anger, because usually it's directed at ourselves. You know, we're angry because, gosh, I was such an idiot, or gosh, how could I be so blind, or, oh, I was such a fool, or whatever. We turn that anger toward ourselves, and what we can learn how to do is instead, we can turn that anger at the fact that we were programmed to respond or to react in exactly the way that we did, and that we don't have to do that anymore. That's the beauty of it. We can now, because we've been willing to tell the truth that we were programmed to have that reaction, instead of we have that reaction just because something's wrong with us, which is what blaming ourselves and, you know, depression is all about self-loathing and self-blame and self-criticism. And so by the time we focus on those sensations that the fear brings up and we let them run and they change, and then we notice the anger, suddenly we can say, you know what? I did the best that I could. I'm innocent. I would have done that differently if I could have, but obviously I couldn't because I didn't. But now I can. And so we use that energy of anger to then tell the truth that the source of my happiness, as well as the source of my unhappiness, lives inside of me, and that means I have power. And so now I'm willing to do something different and use the energy of that anger to tell the truth and to be willing to let go of whatever it was that was precipitating that depression in the first place. So we can't actually deal with the fearful thoughts themselves usually, because first of all, there's thousands of them and they're endless. They never stop. Second of all, because the mind has a billion justifications and rationalizations for why we ought to keep that fear. You know, the fear's going to keep us safe. The fear's going to make us strong. It's all a lie. The fear doesn't do anything except hurt us emotionally and spiritually, and it also does dreadful things to our body. I mean, even Western medicine knows that stress, which is what fear is, it's like they've now admitted that stress is at the root of almost every physical illness. And that's what living in fear does, is it creates stress in the body. So that's what we did last week. We talked about that at length and in depth, a topic that we're going to spend the rest of the day talking about, which is we're going to use some information from Eckhart Tolle and the 10-week video series that he did with Oprah, and talking about what we did last week in terms of fear and depression and clearing that, but talking about it in a very different way. And not just looking at the fear, but looking at all those negative, so-called negative emotions, all those emotions that, you know, are hurtful, whether that's shame or guilt or grief or sadness or rage or obsession, addiction. We're going to actually look at how to heal, how to clear, how to bring ourselves up out of all of those lower level emotions and into a greater sense of joy and peace, because that's our birthright. That's who we really are. And all we ever have to do is clear some of that old programmed junk out of the way, and we're suddenly back in touch with the divinity that lives inside of us. And thank God there are so many hundreds, thousands, billions of ways to do that. And I'm so happy to be on the radio, and I so appreciate everyone listening. It's such an honor for me personally to get to come on every week and talk about these things that I know and that I've experienced, and to share the truth that God lives inside of us as well as inside of everything and everyone and all around us, which means we can always find that source of power, of love, of energy, and all it ever takes, like Jody just said in the song, is we have to let go. We have to surrender whatever it is that's been in our way of experiencing that, because that is who we are in our core, in our being, in our hearts. And so we're going to really focus on how to do that today. And I'm going to be using a book that has been a bestseller for a very long time. It was actually on Oprah's book club. Oprah did a 10-week series with Eckhart Tolle, who wrote this book called A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. And she actually created, or she had her team create, the technology so that 50,000, 100,000 people could be online together at the same time for this video class that she did. And Eckhart Tolle was the first one that she did it with, and she's done that with a few people since. And I tell you what, it was amazing to be on that site while that was happening and know that you were sitting in silence and breathing in and out with, like, you know, 50 or 75,000 people at once. Oh, what a rush that was. But anyway, those shows of Oprah and Eckhart together are still, they're archived on Oprah Winfrey's website. And so you can go there and watch those videos. They're each about an hour long. And they really were amazing and very, very helpful and uplifting. And what I have always thought is amazing about people who are enlightened ones, meaning they're beyond ego. They have no more ego. They still, some of them function in the world, and most of them are focused on helping humanity heal, because that's really the only important thing to them anymore. And most of them don't know one another, haven't read one another's works, and yet they all wind up saying the same thing. And so Eckhart Tolle says pretty much the same thing that David Hawkins says, who says pretty much the same thing that Byron Katie says, that says pretty much the same thing that Mother Teresa said, or the Dalai Lama. It's they all say different things, but it means the same thing. They say it from a different perspective. They say it, and I love it that there's so many ways the same thing can be said, because we're all different. We've all had different experiences, and so we perceive and hear things differently. And so what Eckhart Tolle does really well in this book, A New Earth, is he talks about ego, and he talks about something called the pain body, which is, as a psychologist, I would call what he calls the ego, I would call that the mental shadow, and what he calls the pain body, I would call the emotional shadow. But it doesn't matter what you call it. It's all really just the stuff that's in the way inside of us, of us experiencing that God spark that lives inside of us. And so, but in A New Earth, the whole book is focused on how to deal with the emotional pain and the obsessive thinking that is a part of and either precedes or follows the emotional pain. And he talks about the pain body, and that's what we're going to look at today, because when we're dealing with negative emotion, and when we're dealing with physical pain, too, most of the time, we're actually dealing with what Eckhart Tolle would call the pain body. It is a part of, and yet it's distinct from, the ego, because the ego is more the mental part of what goes on that creates human suffering. The pain body is more the emotional aspect, and it's also the when we have physical stuff going on, it's almost always related to the pain body. So we're going to talk today about what that even means. What the heck is a pain body? And why are we even talking about it? Well, the reason we're talking about it is that if you don't know you have it, then you can get lost in it, and it's very painful, and you'll never come out of it. If you know you have it, then you can address it. You can be aware of it. And that's the first step to coming out of the pain and the misery that is at the heart of not only depression, but as at the heart of all human suffering. And so I'm just going to talk a bit about what the pain body is and what it's about, and then we're going to talk about how to heal it. Because just knowing something isn't helpful unless we also know how to deal with it. So how to notice that we're not really happy, that we're not really at peace, that even when we pretend to be, it doesn't last or it doesn't feel real. And why is that? Because we really are capable of being in peace and in joy. And anyone who's ever had an experience of spirit moving them or spirit filling them up or being totally lost in a creative moment and just being ecstatic, you know that spirit is present. It exists. It's always here. And yet we get lost from it. Why is that? Well, it's because we've been programmed, usually when we were little children, before we had any filters to decide what was true and what wasn't true. We've been programmed with all kinds of things that simply aren't true. And we run our lives based on that unconscious programming. Neuroscience has shown us now that about 5% of what goes on inside of us is conscious, and about 95% is unconscious. It's like, wow, the fact that we ever feel anything consciously is what's the miracle. And so what we're doing today, what I'm doing every week, is just saying, okay, if you want to be more conscious, if you want to feel that love of God and that beauty and that joy and that divinity in you more than you have, then all you have to do is notice what's in the way and let it go. And so today we're going to talk about all that stuff that's in the way as something called the pain body, because that's how Eckhart Tolle talks about it in A New Earth. And millions of people know what that means. And if you don't, just think of it as the part of you that hurts. And I'm going to just tell you a lot of stuff about the pain body, and then we're going to talk about how to free ourselves from it. So the greater part of most people's thinking is involuntary. It's automatic. It's repetitive. It's no more than a kind of mental static, and it fulfills no real purpose. Strictly speaking, you don't think. Thinking happens to you. And for those of you who want to know, I'm actually working out of the book A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, and I'm beginning on page 129. So the voice in our heads, that voice has a life of its own. Most people are at the mercy of that voice. They're possessed by thought, by the mind. And through this complete identification with the mind, that's where our false sense of self, what we often call the ego, that's where it comes into existence. It's through that false identification with the mind. The mind is not who we are. We're so much bigger than the mind. We're spirit. We have a mind, but most of us think we are the mind. Just like we have emotions, but most of us, when we're caught or trapped in those lower level energy fields, we think we are that emotion. We aren't. We just have it, just like we just have a thought. So in addition to the movement of thought, although not entirely separate from it, there is another dimension to the ego, and that's what's called emotion. That is not to say that all thinking and all emotion are of the ego. They turn into ego only when you identify with them, and they take you over completely. That is to say, when they become I. For example, if I say I feel sad, then I'm talking about how I feel, and I know that that's a feeling, and I can work with that. But if I say I am sad, then I think it's me that's sad instead of just a feeling in me that's sad. Sometimes not subtle, although sometimes it is. Anyway, the physical organism, your body, my body, has its own intelligence, as does the organism of every other life form. And that intelligence reacts to what your mind is saying. It reacts to your thoughts. So emotion is the body's reaction to your mind. In certain situations, human beings experience instinctive responses in the same way that animals do. For example, in the face of danger, when the survival of the organism is threatened, the heart beats faster, the muscles contract, the breathing becomes rapid in preparation for fight or flight, or, you know, it's primordial fear. And if we're cornered, then a sudden flare-up of intense energy, it happens, and it gives us strength so that we can do something. You know, that's primordial anger. And these instinctive responses that we have, they're like emotions, but they're not really emotions in the true sense of the word. The fundamental difference between an instinctive response and an emotion is this. An instinctive response is the body's direct response to some external situation. An emotion, on the other hand, is the body's response to a thought. Think about that for a minute. The body doesn't know the difference between what's going on externally and what's going on internally. It's all real to the body. The body's responding to it. If there's a tiger standing in front of me and I need to run, I'm going to have an instinctual response so my body can do that. If there's not a tiger sitting in front of me, if I'm sitting in my living room but I'm thinking about something that I am putting a lot of fear behind, if I'm thinking about something in a fearful way, the body is doing the same fearful instinctive response to that thought as it would be to the tiger in front of me. Literally what's happening is I am creating stress in my physical body. I'm also creating incredible stress and despair and shame and guilt and who knows what else emotionally. So although the body is very intelligent, it can't tell the difference between an actual situation and a thought. It reacts to every thought as if it were a reality. It doesn't know it's just a thought. To the body, a worrisome, fearful thought means I am in danger. And it responds accordingly. Even though you may be lying in a warm and comfortable bed, the heart still beats faster, muscles contract, breathing becomes rapid, and there's this buildup of energy. But since this danger that your body's reacting to is really just a mental fiction, the energy has no outlet. And so part of it is fed back to the mind and generates even more anxious thought. And the rest of the energy actually turns toxic inside of our physical selves and interferes with the harmonious functioning of the body itself. And so that's what we call stress in our world. And medical science has shown us now that most, if not all, illnesses have stress at the root of them. So what we're really talking about here when we're looking at all of this regardless of the language that we're using, is we're talking about how to clear stress from our lives. And we have to do it by beginning to notice how we think, but also how we feel, and recognize that we are in charge, actually. We haven't been consciously in charge of what we think or how we feel, but we can be. We have that power because we are divinely created beings. We have creative power because that is what the core of us is. And so that's the beauty of it, is the moment we recognize the problem, we become empowered to do something about it. Isn't that beautiful? That's the way we're built. That is our God-given right. I just think that's beautiful. So I'm going to continue talking about ego and pain body here for a moment. The ego is not only the unobserved mind. It's the voice in the head which pretends to be you. But it's also the unobserved emotions that are the body's reaction to what the voice in the head is saying. This dysfunctional thinking is what the body reacts to with negative emotions. The voice in the head tells a story that the body believes in and reacts to. Those reactions are the emotions. The emotions in turn feed energy back to the thoughts that created the emotion in the first place. This is the vicious cycle between unexamined thoughts and emotions. Whew! That's what we're dealing with. It's sort of like a catch-22 until you actually recognize that the source of your happiness and your unhappiness lives inside of you, because you are a divinely created being, because this power that created all of life is in each and every one of us. And the reason I know this is because if you are listening, that means you are breathing and you are walking around. And if this divine spark of life was not in you, you wouldn't be doing that. Anybody who's ever sat with somebody whose spirit was leaving the body and the body was dying, you know that when that spirit leaves that body is what we call dead. There is nothing animating that body any longer. And it is very, very, very obviously dead. And so that's how I know that if you're breathing, if you're walking around, if you're thinking, if you can see, hear, taste, touch, feel, then that divine spark is in you. Otherwise, you would be what we call dead. And clearly you're not, because you're listening. So whether you know, whether you feel connected with, whether you have claimed that divinity in you or not, any time ever before in your life, doesn't matter, because you can do so right now. You can say, you know what? I am willing to believe that the source of my own happiness, as well as my unhappiness, is inside of me. And I am willing to let go whatever has been in my way of experiencing that divine energy in me. And I am willing to let that energy fill me up. I'm willing to tap into it and know the power and the beauty and the joy and the love in it. And all it ever takes is willingness. Because the second we become willing and we express that, quantum physics has actually proven that the whole entire universe and everything in it begins conspiring with us. The moment we say, I am willing, whatever follows that statement changes everything in our universe. And the universe begins working with us to make that so. So that's all that's ever really required, is the courage to tell the truth about where the source of your happiness and unhappiness is, and then the willingness to let go whatever has been blocking you from experiencing that divine love and joy and peace that lives inside of you. Wow. And what we're going to do now is we're going to play some more music from this incredible songwriter and singer and musician, Jody Solange. going deeper to fly higher. And that's what we've really been talking about here. Going deeper. That's what you got to do. If you want to know God, you got to go inside. If you want to touch the universe, you got to go inside. You got to go inside in order to know who you are, because that's how you connect with what you are, which is divine spirit. So we are going to let Jody tell us about that in this song, and I will see you back here in a few minutes. I hope you really enjoy this music as much as I do. Before we get back to the topic of the show, I also want to let all the listeners know about underwriting. Do you have a business that you would like to underwrite on WAIF? We offer very cost-friendly rates. We can target your underwriting to any show that you choose. Call one of our underwriting experts today at 513-351-1538 or 513-226-5585 and find out how you can get your business information to our listeners. The cost of underwriting is very affordable. You can underwrite and still stay within your budget. WAIF can help you reach our community with your message, and it's very inexpensive. You'll be helping your business as well as this great radio station, WAIF 88.3, what radio is meant to be. So we are talking about how to clear out whatever has been in the way of recognizing that we are divinely created beings, that God, Source, divine energy, unconditional love, it actually all lives in our hearts. It's our birthright. And whenever we're willing to claim it, it's available. It's right here. We have to know what something is, and we have to accept that it's that we have it before we can let it go. You know, if I don't know that I'm holding something in my hand, for example, then I can't possibly know that I need to open my hand and let it go. So that's why we spend time talking on what the issue is before we spend time on how to address it, how to clear it. So what is a negative emotion? That's really a good question, don't you think? A negative emotion is an emotion that is toxic, literally, to the body, and it interferes with the balance and harmonious functioning of the body. Fear, anxiety, anger, bearing a grudge, sadness, hatred, intense dislike, jealousy, envy, all of these disrupt the energy flow through the body. They affect the heart, the immune system, digestion, the production of hormones. Even mainstream medicine, although it knows very little about how the ego operates, it's beginning to recognize this very intense connection between emotional states and physical disease. An emotion that does harm to the body also infects the people that we come into contact with. And indirectly, through a process of chain reaction, it affects everybody they come in contact with, people that we never even meet. So there is a generic term that we use for all negative emotion, and that's called unhappiness. And so that begs the question then is, do positive emotions then have the opposite effect on the physical body? Do they actually strengthen the immune system and invigorate and heal the body? And the answer is yes, absolutely, they certainly do. In fact, the deeper emotions are not really emotions at all, but they're really states of being. Emotions exist within the realm of opposites. You know, I can be happy or sad. I can be up or down. I can be angry or friendly. But states of being, these can be observed, but they don't have an opposite because they actually emanate from within, from that divine source of us that is the joy and the love and the peace that are actually aspects of our true nature. So isn't that wonderful news? So any negative emotion, and again, for those of you who missed the introduction of this, we are taking this information straight out of Eckhart Tolle's book called A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, partly because he's an enlightened being. He says the same thing about how to be joyful and peaceful that every other enlightened being throughout time has said. And this book has been a very popular book, selling well over 1 million copies. And there are archived videos, a 10-week video series, actually, of Eckhart and Oprah Winfrey on Oprah's website. So if you'd rather hear than read, then I really, really think that would be a great thing to do. So, but anyway, what Eckhart says, and you know, as a psychologist, I would, or maybe I should call myself a recovering psychologist. That actually feels better. I'm an interfaith and metaphysical minister, and I've had almost 30 years of counseling, coaching, teaching experience. But I haven't called myself a therapist in a really long time, so I actually think of myself more as a coach these days. But so as a recovering psychologist, I will say that even though Eckhart Tolle has no background in psychology, as far as I can tell, he explains what goes on in the human psyche better than almost any psych book I've personally ever studied or read, which is saying a lot. But anyway, so he says, any negative emotion that is not fully faced and seen for what it is in the moment it arises does not completely disappear. It leaves behind a remnant of pain. Think about that. Every emotion that is not fully faced and seen for what it is, in the moment it arises, does not completely dissolve. it leaves behind a remnant of pain. The remnants of pain left behind by every strong emotion that is not fully faced, accepted, and then let go of, these join together to form an energy field that lives in the very cells of our body. It consists not just of childhood pain, but also painful emotions that have been added to it later in adolescence and during our adult lives, much of it created by the voice of the ego. It is the emotional pain that is your unavoidable companion when a false sense of self is the basis of your life. This energy field of old but still very much alive emotion that lives in almost every human being is the pain body. Think about that. So anyway, he goes on to talk about a lot about what the pain body is and how it works and how it keeps itself alive. And basically, what all of that comes down to is that the pain body, like, really doesn't want us to notice it because it has an addiction to unhappiness, because that's what keeps the pain body alive. And so it needs to take in new energy to survive. And so it creates new negative energy and really prompts a lot of negative thinking, because that's what feeds it and that's what keeps it alive. And so the usual pattern that psychologists are aware of is thought creating emotion. It actually gets reversed in this case, where the emotion comes up without any particular thought. The emotion, which is the pain body, just activates, just gets triggered because of it needs to feed. It hasn't been active in a while, and now it's going to be. And so then it begins generating negative thoughts, and then that's what becomes the, you know, sort of the cycle of negative feeling leads to negative thinking, and that just makes more negative feeling, and oh. But there is a way out of it, and that's what we're focused on here today, is the way out of it. Because the pain body feeds on drama, on violence. To the pain body, pain is pleasure. And for those of us who are female, there's a collective pain body that lives off of all the horrible, dreadful things that have been done to women throughout the whole of human history, to everyone who is part of a what we would call a minority population, Native American, African American, Jewish, Appalachian. There are also cultural pain bodies that live off of and are triggered by that whole collective energy. And so you don't have to blame yourself because you have a pain body. There's nothing personal about that at all. It's just the way that we are created until we wake up. And you know, some people have really heavy pain bodies, and some people have pain bodies that are basically dormant and only get triggered on occasion. Some people with incredibly heavy pain bodies wind up being the people who are enlightened because the pain is so intense they have to break free of it. Some people with very light pain bodies never actually wake up because they don't ever suffer enough to say, I can't stand this anymore. Some people with very light pain bodies wake up very easily. So there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad about having a heavy or a light pain body. It's just part of being human. But you know what? The beginning of freedom from the pain body lies, first of all, in the realization that we have one. And then, more importantly, it's our ability to stay present enough, alert enough, to notice that pain body in ourselves as a heavy influx of negative emotion when it becomes active. When it's actually recognized, it can no longer pretend to be us and renew itself through us. That's the beauty of it and the joy of it, because it's our conscious presence that breaks the identification with the pain body itself. In the greater scheme of things, and every spiritual being, from Jesus to Buddha to Krishna to David Hawkins to Eckhart Tolle to all the enlightened ones writing today, in the greater scheme of things, humans are really We're meant to become enlightened. We're meant to become conscious. That's like our destiny. Because we've never actually been separate from that light, that divinity, that consciousness is. And so it's easy when we decide that we're going to tap into that presence to do it. Because not only is it our birthright, it's who we really are. It's also how we're destined to live. And so Eckhart Tolle says, and I think it's beautiful, that the very reason for our existence in human form is to bring that dimension of consciousness into this world, to bring that divinity, that knowing of God. That is our purpose in this world, is to bring that knowing into this world. So how do we do that? How do we actually break free of that negative emotional cycle? The way we break free of that is becoming aware of the presence that is inside of us. Presence could be another word for your true being, or for your higher self, or for Jesus, or for God, or for universal great spirit. Presence is just a name for the core of your being that is divine. And that is what breaks the identification with the pain body. The pain body loses energy in the face of presence. And thankfully, you and me and everybody else, once we have the courage and the willingness to turn the light of presence onto our own suffering instead of just being identified with it and wallowing in it, then our thinking stops being clouded by that negative emotion. And our perceptions actually can stop being distorted by the past, which is what a lot of what the pain body really is. And what actually happens when we bring presence into the pain body is that the energy that's been previously trapped in the pain body actually changes into more presence. It's transmuted into presence and literally becomes fuel for consciousness. And that's why many wise, enlightened ones once had a heavy pain body. And so a question that people frequently ask is, how long does it take to become free of the pain body? Well, the answer is, of course, that that depends on both the density of an individual's pain body as well as the degree or the intensity of that individual's arising presence. But it's not the pain body, but the identification with it that actually causes the suffering that you are inflicting on yourself and on others. It's not the pain body, but it's identification with the pain body that forces you to relive the past again and again and keeps you in a state of unconsciousness. So a more important question to ask would be, how long does it take to become free of identification with the pain body? And the answer to that, of course, is it takes no time at all. When the pain body is activated, know that what you are feeling is the pain body in you. It isn't you. It's the pain body in you. This knowing is all that's actually needed to break your identification with it. And when identification with it ceases, then the transmutation begins. How do we get clear, and how long does it take to clear up this emotional problem inside of us? It takes no time at all. When the pain body's activated, all there is to do is know that what you are feeling is the pain body in you. That knowing is all that's needed to break your identification with it. And when identification with it ceases, the transmutation begins. So the knowing prevents the old emotion from rising up into your head and taking over not only the internal dialogue, but also your actions as well as your interactions with other people. So the key is, when you feel the pain body, meaning when you feel any negative emotion coming up in yourself, don't fall into the error of thinking there's something wrong with you, making yourself into a problem. Well, you know, the ego loves that. The knowing that the pain body is arising just wants to be followed by acceptance. anything else will obscure it again. Accepting means that you allow yourself to feel whatever it is you are feeling at that moment. It's part of the isness of the now. You can't argue with what is. Well, you can, but if you do, you're going to suffer. But through allowing it, allowing yourself to feel what you feel through accepting it, you become what you actually are, which is vast and spacious. You become whole. You're not a fragment anymore, which is how the ego perceives itself. Your true nature actually emerges, which is actually one with the nature of God. To actually observe the pain body is power. It's empowering in and of itself because the pain body doesn't actually want you to observe it directly. The moment you observe the pain body, you feel its energy field within you, and you take your attention into it, the identification is broken. Meaning the moment you recognize that you're having a negative emotion, instead of thinking that you are that negative emotion, or instead of thinking that negative emotion is you, the moment you can actually just observe that negative emotion inside of you, then your identification with it is broken. It's like a higher dimension of consciousness comes in. And that's what we're calling presence. That's called your inner divinity, your higher self, the great source of life, the great spirit, whatever you want to call it. That higher dimension of consciousness is the part of you that can notice that you're having a negative emotion instead of falling into that emotion. And so now you become the witness or the watcher of that pain body, of that negative emotion. And Tolle says that there are actually three ways to observe and to dissolve the pain body. First is just watch out for any sign of unhappiness in yourself in whatever form. It may be the awakening pain body. That can take the form of irritation, impatience, a somber mood, a desire to hurt, anger, rage, depression, a need to have some drama. All of those could very well be the pain body arising. And if we can catch it in the moment that it awakens, and then we can just watch it, what happens is it literally feeds our growth. It becomes more presence. The other way that he says to observe and dissolve the pain body is just observe the resistance within ourselves. And what he means by that is to observe the attachment that we have to our pain or to our painful story, to our depression, to our negative thinking. It's like we're real attached to it. We think it's given us something. We think, oh, there's a lesson in this, or, oh, I deserve this, or this is good for me. We're attached to our pain in all kinds of ways. Otherwise, we would just let it go because nobody really likes it. Nobody wants it. And yet it keeps happening. Why? Because we're attached to it. So we just observe that attachment. We don't call it wrong or bad. We observe the resistance within ourselves to actually letting it go. We observe our own attachment to whatever our story, our pain, our emotion is. We just stay very alert. And we actually look at this weird, peculiar pleasure that we get from being unhappy. Somehow it justifies something. And we just observe our compulsion to talk about it or think about it. If we just observe these things, then they cease because we've made them conscious. And resistance and consciousness cannot go together, just like light and dark cannot go together. You bring enough light into a darkened room and the darkness simply disappears because there's no such thing as darkness. There's simply an absence of light. It's the same way here. There's really no such thing as negative emotion or pain body. All it is an absence of love, an absence of presence, an absence of your awareness of the divinity inside of you. And so the key is to actually focus your awareness, your attention on the negative feeling inside of you and know it is the pain body. Accept that it is there. Don't think about it. Don't let the feeling turn into thinking. don't think it's you. Don't hate it or wish it wasn't there or try to make it go away. Don't judge it at all. Just notice it. Stay present with it. And just continue to be the observer of what is happening inside of you. That's the way that unconsciousness becomes conscious. That's the way that pain becomes joy. That's the way that suffering is released and you become aware of the divine in you. You become aware of the peace that lives in you that all this negative energy has been keeping out of your awareness. And it's so, so simple. It's the same thing Hawkins said in last week in terms of how you deal with fear. You just get really present with it. But he talked about being present with the sensations in the body. And Tolle is talking about something very simple. But instead of just paying attention to the body, you're actually watching the emotion itself. Instead of falling into the emotion, instead of becoming the emotion, you just observe it. And as you observe it, presence changes it, transmutes it into more presence. It's really quite amazing. It's actually, this is what catalyzed this energy psychology thing that I co-created called the WOW process. That's actually what the WOW process does, is it gives you a way to be present with the pain body and transmute that emotional suffering into more presence, which means you are then empowered and more at peace. That's the continuation of not only how to clear depression and the fear and the anger that's beneath it, but actually how to deal with any negative emotion is first of all just notice it and watch it, observe it, and notice that it's in you rather than you're it or it's you. Become the observer and notice it. It isn't you. It's just something happening inside of you. And when you notice it, then instead of being a bad, horrible, terrible thing, it actually becomes fuel for your spiritual progress. It actually fuels your own forward movement and brings you into a greater awareness of your own presence. Isn't that amazing? I love that. So anyway, we are just about out of time here. It blows my mind every week how fast this time goes. So I want to wrap up today's show. I want to remind everybody that this show, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, happens every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern at WAIF883.org if you're online, and 88.3 FM if you're in the Cincinnati area. And there's a Facebook page for this show, which is called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And I would love to have your interaction on that show. And normally I close out with Faith Rivera's God Is, because that song is just so beautiful and wonderful to me. I want to close out with two songs from this Judy Saland CD. The first one is Becoming Who You Are, and the second one is Let Go, which is all we ever have to do, folks, is surrender. And God takes care of everything else. So thank you very, very much for listening today. I look forward to seeing you back here next week from 1 to 3. This is Reverend Louisa Dyer signing out for today. Blessed be everyone. Have a great one. And here we go with some more incredible music by Judy Saland.